Now, what are we going to talk about? What are you going to ask me?
Well, I would like for you to talk on the tape, holding the microphone real close to your mouth. I'd like you to talk about what you think the difficulty is in these days and times between mothers and daughters. Where do you think that communication? How do you think? Why do you think it breaks down? What do you think happens?
Well, let's decide a little bit, because I'm not really that sure. Why does it break down? Why do you all think? What should I say about this?
I don't really know.
His daughter's 1.5, and mine's 4, so we don't.
So
know
you're
yet.
Not experienced.
Yeah.
Now, like this friend of Kathy's. She just rebels against everything.
Would it be easier just to put it back up here?
No, I'm not going to. You're not recording it now, are you?
Oh, yeah. I had it turned on. Let me turn it off.
You did? Yes.
Yeah.
I thought we were just talking between us and trying to decide. Kathy is this. Well, we're not supposed to use names, are we? Okay. Our friend is the same age as my daughter, and she has much the same type of home life. Her parents are very good to her, and they play bluegrass music, and they've bought her a guitar and trying to teach her, and she sings some, and they give her material things as much as any other child has, but she just rebels constantly. She allows her friends to call the house at 12 and 1 o'clock at night, and her dad has to get up at 4 to go to work, and they tell her to tell them not to call, but it continues, and Kathy's just constantly rebelling against everything they do. She skips school. She's failing almost all of her subjects, and she just disregards everything her parents have tried to do and guide her.
Mm-hmm. You have two children. You have
yes.
Your daughter is
16,
and your son is
17.
17, and you've never had any major problems with.
No, I am so lucky. We have not. We're very close, and we always have been. When they were babies, I didn't work, so I was with them constantly. And we just enjoyed doing everything. They helped me straighten up the house. I helped them clean up their toy boxes. And when it was time to prepare a meal, Kathy would climb up on the chair and watch and help me. And she always was on the chair with me in the sink doing the dishes. And then when she got older, I didn't force her to do the dishes, or it wasn't a regular chore that she had to do, but she just enjoyed doing it, and she would just do it without me even asking her. Mm-hmm. And she's always been this way. As she grew up, she just would help around the house, take care of her room, and clean without me asking her to help.
Is it kind of a mirror of your relationship with your own mother, or do you remember how it was with her?
Yes, to a certain extent. I grew up on a farm, and we were expected to help with the chores, and we had certain things we had to do. But I don't remember of ever really being forced to do it. But I did help my mother a lot. And I guess it is kind of the same situation.
Did your mother teach you a lot about life as
yes.
you were growing up?
Yes, we talked a lot. But then later, when I became a teenager, she developed a drinking problem, and we were no longer close. And at the time, I think I needed her most during the teens and the early years of my marriage. I really could never confide in her or talk to her because of this problem.
Well, how did that come about?
Mother and Dad had another couple that they were good friends with. It started as a social thing. They would go out a couple evenings a week and have a drink. And then the lady would come over in the day, and she and Mother would have a drink. And then it just got out of hand, and my mother just started drinking every day. She would have a few drinks. And after a period of a couple of years, her body became dependent on the alcohol, and she was an alcoholic and has been for more than 20 years now.
Was she and your dad still together?
My dad died.
When you were how old?
This was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. You really had a lot of jolts, didn't you?
Yes.
So you were... You married when you were what age?
20.
20.
And I had the two children right away. They were only a year and 6 days apart. And I think this helped make us a close family, too, because when they were babies, we were always doing bottles and diapers and feeding them together, and we were very close. And as they grew up, they went to kindergarten and one in the first grade, and they were always doing the same things, and we were very close.
Does your husband participate a lot in that closeness, too?
No. He always was a little distant, not as close with them as they and I. Been.
Why do you think that was?
I'm not sure. Perhaps because he didn't have brothers or sisters. He grew up just with his mother, and she worked a lot, and he was alone a great deal of the time. Mm-hmm. And he just never was able to fit into this close family relationship. When the kids were little, if we wanted to walk down to the park and let them chase the squirrels, you know, and have a sandwich, he didn't want to go. So it was always just the children and I doing these things together.
Mm-hmm. My wife grew up, you might say, by herself. She has old brothers, but they're much older. And she's had just the opposite response. She wants to have 8 kids. She has her idea of how to overcome loneliness is to have a great big family. So I guess you never know for sure how people will.
I guess it would just be the difference in the individual and how they would respond to that situation. Yeah. And the children and I have always had very good communication. Now that they're teenagers, we still talk. And my daughter comes home and tells me things in confidence that have happened with her friends at school and, you know, relations with other boys and with drugs and alcohol. And we talk about these things. And I'm sure that many other teenagers don't confide in their parents. You know, when she was a little girl, I had a very unique way of getting her to do what I wanted her to do. You know, children are smart, and they're individuals, and they like to make up their own mind. They don't like to be pushed or shoved or forced any more than you or I. So if it was a cold, windy day and she was going to go out to play, she didn't want to wear a hat. Not ever did she ever want to wear that hat. So I'd say, okay, you know what the earache feels like and how much it hurts and who it hurts. And if you don't wear your hat, you're probably going to have the earache. So what do you think you should do? And she'd just put her old hat on and run on out to play. And I just use this type thing with them all the time. Let them make up their own mind, but let them know what's going to happen if they do the wrong thing.
Of course, now that she's 16, she's having to face a lot bigger questions than whether to wear a hat or not.
That's right.
And has she started dating yet, regularly? Or?
Yes. She hasn't been interested in boys much until recently. She always was very critical. She'd maybe go to the movie once, and she found something wrong with him. So she met this one fella last year, and she liked him a lot. He is a very nice boy. And they've dated pretty regularly for a few months now. But it's nothing serious. She's only 16, and he's a couple years older. And I don't know if it'll... I'm sure she isn't considering marriage or anything of that for quite some time. But they get along good. He's a good boy. She chose somebody that... She chose the qualities, you know, that she was looking for. He doesn't drink, and he doesn't, you know, drive fast, and he's a very mature, nice young man. He goes to church with us. We do have a lot of Christian faith. I think this has helped us to be a close family, because we go to church and then we talk about things that, you know, the sermon has been about, and we read the Bible together and discuss it. And when she was little, we read Bible stories together. And I am a musician for a gospel quartet. So when our group's going to go out to play and sing, she always asks when we're gone and where. And she kind of makes her plans around what we're going to be doing. If we're going to sing, she would rather go with us than she would to go on a date. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she takes her boyfriend along, but she prefers to go with this quartet and just sit, and then usually we go out and have something to eat on our way home, And she would rather do this than she would to go out on dates and be with her own friends.
What about your son? Does he include himself in your life too?
Yes, but he's a little different, and I don't have the closeness that I do have with Kathy. However, being a boy, and we have such different interests, I think is the reason. Now, he is not on drugs, and he hasn't rebelled in any way. Occasionally, we have a disagreement over the car, the lawnmower. He doesn't always want to help me do the things that the boys have to help around the house with. But we are close, and we are able to talk.
Mm-hmm. Does he have a girlfriend steady?
No. He isn't much interested in girls. He dates occasionally, but nothing steady.
You've been a single parent for how long?
Almost 2 years now.
How do you like that?
In the beginning, it was very hard. I was used to having my family come home for dinner, and we had a regular schedule at our house. Everybody was there at a certain time when we ate, and within about 2 months, my husband left, my son got his driver's license and went to work, and my daughter began to date. So there was nobody home but me and the dog. And this was very hard for me to accept, being alone all of a sudden. But I have adjusted to it, and I feel that I've made the best of the situation. I accept that they are growing and that they can't be in the house with me all the time now. So they kind of come and go, and I have my own routine now, and it's working out pretty well.
Your husband was... Did you say that he was sort of distant from the children when
Yes.
they were small? Did that just sort of did he continue to grow away from the family, do you think, or what?
I think so. We lost communication. That's between he and I. We couldn't talk. We had hard times even discussing necessary things about the children. It just like we lost communication. I'm not sure why this happened, but there was a big breakdown. And after that, we just couldn't seem to get back together with a good, wholesome relationship. And I was very upset. It was during this time my father died. So I talked to my minister, and he recommended a professional counselor at our mental health center. And I went to him on a regular basis for about 4 years, and then I've continued to see him occasionally over the past couple of years. And this has been a tremendous help to me. He has made me think about things that I wouldn't have otherwise. He talks to me, and since he is looking at both sides of the relationship, he will point out things that I hadn't thought about, and he makes me think about it and understand why it happened.
Was it pretty painful, some of it?
Yes, very much so. But then later, it's a feeling of relief. I felt so much hurt and rejection. I felt I had failed. You know, my husband didn't love me anymore and left and got a divorce. And I had tried so hard to be a good wife and a good mother. I had just dedicated 18 years of my life to this. I didn't work outside the home. And I thought that I was probably one of the most efficient wives and mothers there could be. But he was never satisfied. So finally at the breakup, I couldn't accept it. I kept thinking, I have failed, but where? I did everything I could do, but somehow I failed. And I could only put all the blame on me, but I couldn't understand why I failed. And through their counseling, they make me realize that it wasn't all my fault, that it was like a personality clash, and he just didn't appreciate the things that I did, and we just grew farther and farther apart until there was this very little love or feeling left, and the divorce, they said, would be the best.
Did it seem like you did, that there was a pattern of doing things for him rather than with him? Was that?
Yes. I tried to please him. I knew the things he liked, like foods he liked to eat, so I prepared those. And I was always trying to do things to please him. And if I wanted to take the children and go out in the country to the farm for a day, and I would mention it, he'd say, I'm not interested in going. If you want to go, go. So I would take the children and go by myself. And we did this for many years. It was just the children and I alone. Then as the children got older and didn't want to go with me, they had their own friends, then I was completely alone.
Mm-hmm. We were talking a little bit about your divorce. And, well, what made you turn to the mental health clinic in the very first place? How did you come to go?
I was beginning to get very depressed. I cried a lot, and I just felt that I couldn't handle the situation any longer. I didn't know what to do. My husband and I argued constantly, and there was no communication between us, and I needed somebody to talk to. So I talked to my minister, and he recommended that I go to the mental health center to a professional marriage counselor. So I did. And in the beginning, we just talked about our home life together, a little bit about my background and his.
Did he go with you to the
counseling? Time.
Uh-huh.
I went the first time alone, and he asked to see us together. So we went once together. And we weren't able to accomplish much with both of us being there. It was more argumentative than anything else. So then my husband, I think, went once by himself, and he said he didn't see any point in going. So I continued to go on a regular basis once a week. And they talked to me just about our life and tried to make me understand why things were happening the way they were. And I was blaming myself and feeling I was a failure. I felt that someplace I had failed, or my husband would still love me, and he constantly was criticizing me and saying I wasn't a good mother and a good wife, and so I just felt I was a failure. And they tried to make me change my attitude and realize that only part of it was my fault. And they did help. It did accomplish a great deal.
Did you go once a week?
Or? Once a week for an hour. And I did this for several months. And then sometimes I would feel stronger and not go for a period of time, and then I would go back again. And I probably have gone there for maybe 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Gibbs and I have both been through this same thing, so it's kind of interesting to me how other people dealt with it too. Mm-hmm. You know? In fact, what is it now, 3 out of 5 marriages or something like that end in divorce?
Three out of five.
What is wrong? What is going on? Why can't people get along?
But do you know, in Christian families, it's something like 1 in 400, huh, we were told in church. So perhaps this is the answer. I think if both the people could get into church regularly and become involved and be Christians, have a Christian home, I think most of these divorces would be eliminated. You have more understanding, you're more compassionate of each other when you are a Christian. Mm-hmm. And I think this would have a great influence on the rate of divorces.
Mm-hmm. But your husband was not?
No, he was not a Christian.
Mm-hmm. And did dissuade himself, or came and went as he pleased? And
that's right. He seemed to enjoy doing things for the rest of his family, but never had time to help at home. He took his aunts and relatives to the grocery stores and mowed their lawns and did all kinds of things for them. And my little daughter was maybe 8 or 10 at the time, and she would be out mowing our lawn, and I'd be out there helping her trim. And, you know, and he was up the road at his aunt's mowing their lawn. And he just never wanted to be home with his family, being the role that a father should have been. Our neighbor took our son fishing and hunting and the things that his own father should have been doing. He just never was there to be a companion to me or to the children.
Hmm. Well, sitting here talking to you, it's a mystery to me how that could be. I mean, why somebody wouldn't want to spend time with you is curiosity to me. So you think Christ is the answer then?
I think it would be the answer, yes. Perhaps not in every situation, but if both people have the desire to work the problems out and live together, if they seek counseling and go to church and perhaps talk with their minister, I would say 99 times out of 100 they could work this out. If they really wanted to, because with the help of Christ, it's possible.
A lot of women these days are talking about role issues having to do with your role in the home, and your role as a woman, and so on. People in the women's movement are talking about that. Other women are talking about that. And here you are now. You still like to cook, I gather.
I love to cook.
And do those things. Your house is immaculate.
I'm very domesticated.
But you're also somebody who's out doing the breadwinning.
Right.
You have your own business, two businesses.
Right.
You're a beautician and you have an ice cream parlor. Both of them pretty demanding.
That's right.
And have you gotten some kind of new sense of yourself as a result of being able to do these things and cope with all these problems?
Yes. In the beginning, I felt very incapable. I had had a husband all my life to take care of me, and I didn't work outside the home. I loved to cook, and I baked bread, and I was just, my whole life was just taking care of my home and my family and trying to be a good wife. So all of a sudden, like I said, my children grew up and were gone. My husband had left, and I had to go to work. It was a big adjustment. So I just plunged into it. I decided I'm on my own. Nobody's going to help me. What my life holds in the future is going to be up to me. So I already owned this one little business. So I acquired another, and now I operate the two together. And I wanted my own home, so I had one built. And I've just really put everything into me, into work. I work at the businesses, and I take care of my home with the help of my daughter. And I keep myself extremely busy. And this has helped me emotionally to deal with this. I don't have time anymore to sit and think and wonder why my marriage failed. Right now, I'm just trying to build my future. And I found that I can do it. I thought I couldn't, but I can, and I am. Mm-hmm. And I think every woman can when she has to.
This has changed. It's changed your whole life around, though, hasn't it?
Definitely.
How do you think your son views this? I'm wondering how many signals he picked up from his father about how you treat women, so to speak. And I'm wondering if your rising to this challenge has changed his views about how he's going to treat a woman someday, or how. What do you think about that?
Well, about him picking up his values from his father, this frightens me, because I can definitely see it. They're alike in many ways. But Chris and I still are close, and we have talked about how he feels about dating and marriage. He says he doesn't want to marry for quite some time, that he would rather stay single and work and be able to buy cars and do the things he wants to do. And he says later in life, then he will marry and have a family. But he feels right now that he needs a few years to himself.
Do you think his response to women will be the same as his father's was? Or do you think that seeing you be a strong person and cope with things and manage for yourself, do you think he will look for those qualities in a woman? Someone who can manage herself, or do you think that he will want someone that he can take care of? And
I can't be sure about that, but I believe that he's a person that will want to be the head of the home, and I think he will want to supply and take care of his wife and let her be a homemaker, because that was the way he grew up as a child, And I believe that will have enough influence on him later in life when he's ready to marry, that I think he will want to really be the head of the house and take care of his family financially and let the wife stay home and raise the children and just be a wife. He's a very compassionate person, and he has a lot of love for everybody, and I believe that he would be a good father and a good husband.
Then he isn't so much like your husband, huh?
No, in some ways he is. He doesn't like to keep up the garage. It's always a mess, and he's kind of sloppy. And I think this goes back to his dad, because they'd be in the garage working and arguing over the tools, and neither one of them ever put them away, and this kind of thing. But basically, as to how he would treat a wife and what he would expect in a marriage, I think it would be quite different than the way his father has been.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what the guarantees are. So often it seems that patterns repeat themselves, and most of us live kind of like we were raised until, like you, we're jolted into some other mode of operating. Or
right.
Most of us, though, are content to limp along just the way, you know, way we was raised. And
right. Well, see, he was 16 when we separated. And we had had a close family relationship all these years. And that's why I feel when he marries that it will be a solid relationship, more like we had during these years. Our divorce came about very suddenly. And I feel that probably the influence of his childhood up until he was 16 at the time we separated, I think that will be very influential into his later life.
We talked to a woman earlier today who's also been recently divorced, and after a long marriage, not quite as long as yours, but she was married many years and she has 3 children. And she thought that that mothers, that she has a mother, participated in helping to create these monsters who are men, you know, by waiting on her sons hand and foot and always giving them everything they wanted and always having a hot meal on the table and all this other stuff, treating them, as she said, I think, like little gods, treating her sons that way. She says that it helps to promote in them this egotistical nature acts in a hard way with women later on. He grows up expecting his wife to be like his mother, to wait on him, bring him his slippers, and have something on the table, and take care of him, and do to suit him. What about this business of the way mothers raise their sons?
I think that's exactly right. My husband's mother did this to him. She waited on him. She had him spoiled. And he expected me to treat him the same way, and I did. But I loved him, and I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed doing things for him. When he was coming home for dinner, I always had a pot of coffee ready. I had his bedroom slippers sitting by his chair, the newspaper there. As soon as he got in, I took his coffee to him. I always had his dinner ready. I laid his pajamas out on the bed every evening for his shower. And I treated him like he was a king, and he was. He was my husband, and he was my king. But I do feel that if a mother treats a son this way, the son will expect his wife to treat him this way. Mm-hmm. But it can be good to a certain point. I enjoyed doing it. Mm-hmm. But I think that definitely would be a pattern, because if this fella is used to this treatment, he's going to expect his wife to do it. But it can be good. It can be a close relationship. I enjoy doing it.
Well, do you have any, are there any questions you'd like to ask?
What kind of a relationship did your mother and father have? Did they communicate together pretty much? Were they pretty close?
Yes. We lived on a farm, so we didn't have lots of friends and neighbors. It was mostly just the family. And as we were small children, they did have a close relationship. They talked a lot, and everybody helped in the work at the farm, even when we were small children. You know, we had certain things to do. But then, later on in life, when I was a teenager,